Thank you for that. Rick Tittleback with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Eric Gray. He's written a couple baseball books. First of all, Bases to Bleachers, a collection of personal baseball stories from the stands and beyond. And then a follow-up to that is called Backyards to Baseball's More Personal Stories from the Stands and Beyond. Eric, welcome to the show. The first book, it couldn't hold all the stories. So are we working on a third one now?
Hi, Rick. Thank you for inviting me to your show. The answer is probably. when I did my first book, I already had 1,250 stories from around the world. And, you know, it was very clear that, you know, I wanted somebody to be able to read the book without having a Sherpa carry it for them. So I knew there'd be a second book, and the stories have just piled in. By now, I've received 2,500 stories, again, from around the world, of which 600 are in the two books. So the stories keep coming in. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure there'll be a third book.
So help me out with this. It was nice meeting you in person the other day when you were dropping off the books at our studios, being a local guy. You were wearing a Giants hoodie and a Giants hat, but you were also a Mets fan as a kid. So what's it like? You got 40 years here as a Giants fan, but then the beating heart of your boyhood was Mets. What's that like, rooting for two teams who are in the same league?
Yeah, well, you know, I take a lot of stuff from friends about that. You know, I can't help where I'm from, and I can't help where I live. I was actually a Yankee fan growing up because that's the only team in town. And, you know, when Mickey Mantle is your hero, what more could you want, right? Yeah, I'm a Mets fan and a Giants fan both. And I remember in 2000 when the Mets and Giants were playing each other in the playoffs, my kids turned to me and said, all right, what is it going to be, old man, the light side or the dark side? So I pretty much just now, and that's obviously a Star Wars reference, and I pretty much root now for both teams, and if they're playing each other, I will root for the team that really needs it most. If one is in a pennant race and the other is, you know, just hopelessly out of it, I'll root for the team that's in the race.
So when JT Snow hit that game-tying home run, but the Mets still won, kind of the best of both worlds for you.
I would have been happy with either outcome. I mean, you know, I mean, at this point, I've been a Giants fan for about 8 years because the first game I took my kids to was in 1992 when my daughter was 8 and my son was 4. So until then, I only went to Giants games when the Mets were in town. You know, I was okay with either outcome.
What can you tell us about Shea Stadium, you know, and by the airport, and you always hear the planes going over, and of course City Field also in Queens, but they've brought the fences in for Jason Bay, I think, and then they moved them back out. They've kind of screwed around a little bit, and we also know if you sit behind home plate, you have to be like Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates. What are your thoughts about Shea Stadium versus City Field?
You know, it's been so long since I was at a game there. I went to one game with my family. We back on an East Coast baseball trip, and that was in 2000. Before that, I'd been to one game like in the late 80s. It's been so long. I know I went to so many games there. I know that people thought that Shea was just an awful stadium. I honestly don't have those memories. I think the thing that really disappoints me most, I mean, with the things I remember and the things I don't remember seeing Tom Seaver pitch, but I know I did. I don't remember seeing Mickey Mantle play. I know I did. I remember being at the game when they retired Mickey Mantle's number, and that's a story in one of my books. But my memories of some of those things, I remember being on the field for, what's it called, camera day, I think, when you're able to go on the field and take photos with, you know, your little brown something. But my memories are just, they're just not great. And that kind of bothers me a little bit. But, you know, what can I do about it, right?
Just as an aside, you might appreciate this. One of the thrills of my career is many years ago, I got to co-host a fundraiser for the Baseball Hall of Fame with Tom Seaver. And so during the dinner, I stood up there with him and did like a 45-minute question and answer. And then people got done eating and they got to ask him questions, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Seaver is my second favorite ball player of all time. You know, I often like the players who are kind of less well known. But when your two favorite players are Mickey Mantle and Tom Seaver, it's kind of hard to justify that comment, right?
I know an A's fan who, about as diehard as it gets, I don't know about now, but I remember she told me she grew up in New York, and she said that she was the Mets were her whole life, but when they traded Tom Seaver, she switched to the A's because she said, I can never look at the Mets again after the worst trade in the history of the world.
Well, I agree with that. I was writing for an online baseball magazine for a while, and I did a piece on which was the worst trade in Mets history. And I think a lot of people will say it was Nolan Ryan, and I think it depends on how you look at it, right? If you look at it in retrospect, I can make that point because, you know, Seaver was halfway through his career, and you know, he still had a lot of gas in the tank, but, you know, he was halfway through his career. But to me, I look at it, and I think when you trade the heart and soul of your team, when you trade the greatest player the Mets ever developed, and, you know, in 1,000 years, we could be having this conversation, and Tom Seaver may still be the greatest player that the Mets ever traded. So that was a really tough one to swallow, for sure.
Yeah, and you could argue they did get a World Series out of the Miracle Mets with Nolan Ryan, so they got got something out of it. We're speaking right with Eric Gray. Let's talk about the books and these stories. I think some people would probably assume that they're all your stories, but they're not. They're submitted to you. So how do you go about getting the word out and getting these stories?
When I first had the idea about the book, it's because I was at a ball game with my wife and my daughter and a friend, and I just asked the question, what was your favorite moment at a game? I sent an email to a bunch of people, and including one friend who really doesn't like baseball, and I included on this just kind of as a joke. But his story was so personal and so wonderful, really, that I knew that I had to write this book. And I began asking more friends, and I asked my friends to ask friends. And then if you were walking down the street and you had a twin shirt or an Atlanta Braves hat, whatever it was, I would ask you about a story. I would tell you I was writing this book. Do you have a story that you want to contribute? And, you know, by the time, as I said, by the time of the first book, I had 1,250 stories from around the world. And it was an amazing process. And the stories that I've gotten from people are incredible. I mean, they're not all – people think of these as baseball books, which they are in a way, but the books are real – the stories are really more human interest. I mean, every story talks about baseball. Every story has baseball involved in some way or another. But, again, the stories are far more human interest in nature, I think, which makes it a book that baseball fans and non-baseball fans alike can enjoy.
No doubt. You say from around the world, and of course, baseball in different countries can be a bit different. We know about the Nippon Professional Leagues, and I know someone who went to a Chiba Lotta Marines game in Tokyo in September, and he knew there was going to be orchestrated cheering and all that, but what he found was really amazing is that the top of the seventh, very sportsmanlike and gentlemanly, you let the opposing team sing, and the home crowd shuts up. Just for those three outs, I mean, it's just, do you get some of these interesting stories from around the world like that?
Yeah, my memory's a little bit hazy, but I have stories from Japan and Korea, and my memory tells me, I may not be exactly correct on this, that in one of those, at one of the parks, it's almost like a halftime at a soccer game. They go into the field, all the players go into center field, and they just sit. It's like a little break, but certainly the stories about how fans are just—it's the fan experience in those countries. At least that made the stories that people contributed to me.
I found that when I went to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, that it really is a history museum more than a sports museum, and how it tells the story of America. Baseball does more than any other sport. So for you, when you're compiling this, you're not just compiling baseball stories, it's you're compiling stories, just a timeline of our cultural history as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that baseball is unlike any other sport. And look, I love professional basketball. I'm not a football fan, so I don't know if I can speak authoritatively to this, but I don't think you could have written this kind of book about any other sport. maybe soccer on an international level. But the stories in this book, really, so many of them talk about family and, you know, and how they shared, the game historically and, you know, with your grandfather. There are stories about going to games with your grandfather or taking your kids. I mean, it's such a generational thing. And, again, I can't say that that's not the case in football. But the memories that people have are just fascinating. I knew that as I was doing this that the one category of story I really wanted more than anything else were people who watch baseball in like the 30s or 40s or 20s. Obviously, it's really hard to do that now because those people aren't with us anymore. So I have a chapter in one of my books. It's called Stories Handed Down, and it's about people who got stories from their grandpa, you know, what they had seen, you know, seeing the Lou Gehrig, you know, say I consider myself the greatest man in luckiest man in the history of the world. And that chapter happens to be really meaningful to me because it really does, I mean, I guess in a way it shows that the game has changed, but the love of the game hasn't.
No doubt. You think about passing things down, and I'm an Oakland fan because my dad is from Oakland and I grew up in the East Bay. But when I was a little kid, I knew my great-grandfather, and he gave my brothers and I a foul ball from the 31 World Series that he got at Sportsman Park off the bat of Pepper Martin, where they beat the A's, and the A's had won the Philadelphia's previous two World Series. And what did we do with that ball? We played with it so much the cover came off. I mean, nowadays it would go into like a plastic cube, right?
Yep, and, you know, it will not surprise you to know that I have a couple of stories just like that about a guy who really wanted Willie Mays' autograph. He got a ball, Willie Mays signed it, and then he played with the ball, and it got all messed up. And he ends the story by saying, I really regret that I did that, but I'm thinking that Willie Mays would have thought that that was an okay thing to do with a baseball. But there are a number of stories. There are a number of stories like that.
Great stuff. Check out the books, Bases to Bleachers and Backyards to Ballparks. We have been speaking with the author, Eric C. Gray. Eric, thanks for coming on and talking about the books. And when you write the third one, come on back.
Thank you. I will. And, you know, I just want people to know, especially people who live in the Bay Area, that I do book talks at our home. And if anybody wants to get the book, it's available online. You can also contact me on my website, Bases to Bleachers. You know, if you have a story you want to contribute or if you want to get an autographed copy of the book, that's the way you can contact me.